Before we begin, this podcast is a place of acceptance, diversity, and respect.
This podcast respects all aspects of people, including race, ethnicity, gender expression, sexual orientation, socioeconomic background, age, religion, and ability.
That being said, let us begin.
What's up, world? Welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting and positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
That's what we do. This is the Positive Truth. We have 8 positive news stories to bring to you today. That's what we do every Monday and Wednesday. And yeah, Tim, how are you today?
I'm doing well, man. I'm a little sleepy. My niece had her birthday party yesterday, so I'm a little exhausted from that. But besides that, I'm doing great. How are you doing this morning, JP?
Same.
I hear that.
How old is your niece?
Man, she just turned 5.
Is this the party you posted on your Snapchat yesterday?
Yeah, man, when she was chasing the little boy around.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big party for a 5-year-old.
Yeah, man, they decided to do it pretty big this year. Usually her mom throws the birthday parties, you know, at Chuck E. Cheese or Jump Zone or something like that. And this year, her grandma was like, let's throw a Mexican birthday party. So, you know, bunch of food, you know, a bouncy house, the way my niece calls it. You know, parents, kids running around everywhere. Yeah, it was pretty big. It was cool, though. It was cool. Kids had a good time for sure.
Last Friday, when I was at work, I got put in a party, right? It was a 3-year-old's birthday party, and they had their whole, entire room to themselves, and it was a $2,000 minimum for a 3-year-old birthday party.
Right.
And so whenever we get there, they, hooked up the TV, and they had, all these YouTube videos of the first 3 years of her life. Just playing on repeat, right? And it wasn't like it was a couple. It was hundreds. They got every moment. I was like, kid, you are loved. They spent over $2,000 on your birthday party at 3. You're not even gonna remember this.
Yeah, there's no way I'm spending that kind of money. I think in total it was $700 spent for that party.
It's cool though.
Yeah, that's not bad.
We do it for the kids, man. Do it for the kids.
Indubitably.
I like that, Tim. Speaking of indubitably, I got my first positive news story. It's super fast, but you remember on Monday, we talked about Klay Thompson, I think it was Monday, donating money from his next 3 home games to charity?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, quick refresher.
Cool. So I was really putting in thought there.
So basically, Klay Thompson said for the next 3 games, all the points he scored, he was going to donate $1,000 to charity.
Right, I do remember. Gotcha.
So in game 1, he scored 22 points. Game 2, he scored 18. In game 3, he scored 29. So he donated $69,000 to the North Bay Fire Relief. So good job, Klay Thompson, and that's my first positive news story.
Good follow-up, for sure. I'm all about follow-ups. Well, man, my first one is actually about Jose Hernandez. So Jose Hernandez, he's a Mexican migrant. He was born here in the United States, but his parents were actually born from Mexico. So he grew up as a farmer, right? And whenever he was a kid, he realized at a very young age that he wanted to be an astronaut one day. So again, Jose Hernandez, child, works on a farm, decides at a young age he wants to be an astronaut. So he decided he wanted to share his dream with his father, and he told his father what he wanted to do, and his father said, I think you can do it. You just have to, you know, get an education. And his family was really big on getting an education. They really believed it. He would go to Mexico during all of his breaks, just like a lot of our kids do here on the southwest side of Oklahoma City. During winter break, spring break, fall break, they go back to Mexico, and then they come back for classes and stuff like that, which he did that every single year. So during Christmas break, that's where he was at in Mexico, and makes it right back for school. So he did this throughout his schooling. Now we fast forward from him being about 10 years old when he wanted to become a, when he first wanted to become an astronaut, to his senior year, where NASA just hired, in 1986, just hired their first Latino astronaut, which inspired him even more. So fast forward again, this guy took this test to be an astronaut 11 times, and he failed 11 times.
Hold up. What is this test?
Man, I have no clue. I'm sure it's like a physical and, you know, a psychological endurance. It's a kind of an all ridiculous kind of, like, a just ridiculous test, I bet. I know he says he failed it, not one. There's a cool video I'm going to upload to the Facebook page at the Positive Truth Podcast. I don't want to tell too much of the video, but I know in the video there's one part where he says, I didn't fail it, not one, not two, not three, not four, but 11 times, which I cracked up, of course, you know, 11 times he failed. And the reason I'm sharing this story, because it gets really, really positive after that, there comes a point where he says he had to ask himself, you know what? I've taken this test. I started taking this test when I'm 30. I'm now 42 years old. What are all these people that are getting hired over me? What are they doing differently? He realized that they were all pilots. So what did this farmer do? This farmer decided, you know what? I'm going to get my pilot license. And that's what he does. And he goes on. He tells you a little bit more about his journey on becoming an astronaut. And yeah, so if you guys want to check out this video about Jose Hernandez, please check it out at our Positive Truth Facebook page at the Positive Truth Podcast. It's really, really inspiring, and it's definitely what we're about.
Oh, he made it?
Yeah, man, he made it, dude.
Did this happen recently?
I won't. It had the year on it. It was 2015, 16 when he first became a. Yeah, it was 15. I apologize.
One of those years.
Yeah, it was one of those years, for sure. It was a recent story in the last couple years, though. Now this made a cool little video, which I follow them on Facebook because they always got positive stories on that. And yeah, man, I'm definitely going to share it right now. So if you guys want to check it out, it's already there.
Cool, Tim. I like it. Yeah, never give up. There you go. Sort of like that story of that lady that swam. I don't know where she swam, but she didn't do it until she was like 70 or 80 years old. She was just like, never give up on your dreams.
Tu sabes. I think she was somewhere over in Europe.
I'm not swimming anywhere because swimming is hard, but yeah.
You'll be squatting like 10 times your body weight and stuff.
Hey. Swimming is worse.
What else you got for us, man?
Okay, I have like my favorite. Okay, I would say like top 5, top 10 positive news story ever.
Oh, yeah.
So, a long time ago, you said this, and I'm pretty sure it's true. We did a story about a man in Atlanta doing haircuts for homeless, right?
Right.
So, basically, his name was Brennan Jones, and almost a year ago, his mission has been to help homeless people, basically give them free haircuts, which is right, awesome on a lot of levels.
Yeah, right. He was going around and just cutting random people's hair like that needed it for the homeless, right?
Yeah.
Like no charge at all. Just wanted to help them out, try to get their lives better. That's what he was about. I do remember us doing a story like that for sure.
So he says, I've done almost 1,000 haircuts. Basically, he said, I've done 1,000 haircuts since then, just free for the homeless. Which is amazing on its own, because that's a lot of charity, right?
Yeah, within a year, I mean, you're talking like, man, he's like doing almost, 80 people's hair a month?
Man, I don't feel like doing the math today, because I'm about to have to do logarithms in about an hour or two, so nah.
Touche, let me be quiet. Go ahead, JP.
But anyway, there's probably more than 80 a month, man. But he was doing all that free of charge. But it's getting a little cold, even in Atlanta. The winter is coming. So he didn't know how he was going to keep on doing it. And so, basically, while this is happening, there is a man. His name is Sean Johnson. Basically, here's a backstory on him. So he was in jail in, like, the early 90s because, you know, in America, if you get caught selling weed and you're brown, it can basically ruin your life. So whenever he got out of jail, he was like, I got to do something because there's no economic opportunity around me. So he went to school, became a barber, and he didn't have any money. So his mom paid for his license, his haircutting license. And he was like, all right, mom, I'm going to make sure you're proud of me. So he opened his own barber shop. called Tapers, right?
Right.
He opened it in Atlanta. It became so popular, he was like, I gotta get a new one because too many people are coming here. Which is a good problem to have.
Absolutely, especially as a barber.
So Mr. Johnson, he like bought a place. Refurbished. There we go.
Refurbished.
Wow, JP.
It's so early. It's okay, man.
So he refurbished the place, everything, had it ready to go. He had it ready to open like the next like week. That's when he found out about Brennan. Brennan Jones, the one who's doing the haircuts for homeless. So he goes and talks to him, and he's like, you're really doing this? He was like, yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do it during the cold. So Sean Johnson, the one that owns the Tapers Barbershop, walked him in to his new one. He was like, you like the place? He was like, yeah, you offered me a job. He was like, no, do you like the place? He was like, yeah, I like it. He was like, all right, cool. Here, you can have it for free. And gave it for free.
Dude tossed him the keys for free, was just like, hey, here you go. It's yours.
Yes, exactly.
Dude. Yo, that's as positive as it gets, man.
If that is restoring faith in humanity. To recap, so the Sean Johnson got out of jail, opened up a barbershop, bought another one, refurbished it, and was like, yo, I can go buy another one. I can go save up my money and buy another one because this kid's doing a lot of good. He needs his own barbershop. So now Brennan Jones has his own barbershop set, ready to go. It'll be open like the beginning of November. So basically like 2 days from now, basically now, whenever this podcast comes out. And Brennan Jones said, we're going to have set days where homeless people can come in here any time of the year and get free haircuts.
That's amazing, man. That's like an awesome way to just give back and watch it just grow. Because in all reality, like, the dude was cutting hair out of the kindness of his heart. You know what I mean? Like, he was cutting hair out of the kindness of his heart. And then all of a sudden, somebody gave him something super positive, super amazing, a place for him to do it in the wintertime, a place for him to continue doing great things. Like, it makes me feel like it's just like a positive chain that's not gonna ever stop. And that's exactly what we're about, man.
And now he can get actual people in there and make money too.
Yeah, the dude gave him a way to survive now, not just give back to the community, but a way to survive by doing what he loves, man. That's amazing. I love that story, JP. Definitely a top 5, top 10 story.
Yeah, if you don't believe in humanity, this story shows you there's a lot of good people doing good things.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you sharing that with us for sure. Well, man, I'm going to go ahead and continue with my next story. It's hard to top that, but for sure. In this past January of 2016, Susan Canny, director of the Mali Elephant Project, predicted all of Mali's elephants would be killed in 3 years if poaching continued. So basically what they decided to do was start a brigade. There's probably among the most extremely endangered of Africa's elephants, said Douglas Hamilton, the founder of Save the Elephants, which is a wildlife advocacy group. And he also said that he was extremely worried. So basically, to defend the 300 or so elephants that remained, they performed this brigade. And the brigade combined rangers, army forces, and the necessary just volunteers that wanted to come through and help. Basically, what they did was they got a bunch of people together. They got these random weapons. They have two guys that were in the military that have these little chocolate-covered... What kind of dogs were these?
Chocolate-covered dogs? You're talking to the wrong person, man.
chocolate-covered spaniels. That's what they're called. Mitch and Bobby basically walked around with these spaniels because they were trained to sniff out ivory. So the team takes the dogs on searches whenever they get intelligence about traffickers and hideouts. They basically were just they're all doing this out of love, is basically what they were said. The sergeant Sangre, I can't say his name, I'm butchering it really, really bad, but whenever he was asked about the work, his response was, the work, it is love. It's as simple as that. I really like this story, because the whole bonus about this story, whenever they started this about 9 months ago in 2017, not in 2016, but they started about 9 months ago, and not one elephant has died from poaching since they started this brigade, and they're going to continue doing it as long as there's poachers out there.
See, you know why I like that positive news story? Because some, like, oftentimes we're constantly asked to donate money to causes like breast cancer research, since, you know, it was just October.
Right.
But rarely is there like a follow-up on how much it helped. Because my next positive news story is about how, like, the world together spent $14.4 billion on conservation, and it actually worked between, like, 1992 and 2003. Like, that investment led to a 29% decrease in the rate of biodiversity decline, like, just in that region. And, like, we keep putting more into it, and the decline keeps increasing. And it's the same thing with your elephants, where it's like, yo, when we actually, like, make laws, donate, spend the time to protect the environment, it actually works. But there's usually never a follow-up that you actually get to see
the results.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, man. Absolutely. I definitely like that, though. The results are there, for sure. I'm glad that they have proof, though. I wonder how many organizations, like, actually have proof that... hey, this is actually working, or are they just raising it just to feel positive, I guess?
I feel like most are actually helping. I remember when we first started doing this a year ago, one of our first positive news stories was about ALS and how all of, like, the ice bucket challenges, like, led to all these breakthroughs and, like, treatment.
Right. I do remember that.
So, I feel like a lot. I feel like it always helps.
That's what's up. As long as it's helping the kids, that's all that matters.
Well, Tim, my next positive news story is about the Scottish government. So if you were a gay man or a gay woman, or basically an LGBT in Scotland, basically they're receiving an apology and a removal of all criminal records. So if you're a gay man and you were charged with it, your criminal record is being removed, and yeah, they're also issuing an apology, and that's a great thing.
Wait, you can be charged for being gay, like criminal charges against you in Scotland?
Yeah, used to.
And hell yeah, they owe them an apology.
That woke up Tim.
Man, caught me off guard. Owe them an apology, man. Yeah, yes, that's a good positive story, JP. Let me be quiet. Well, get real negative real early.
All right, let me make it more positive for you, Tim.
All right. So
it was an apology rather than a pardon. A pardon implies that you did something wrong, you were tried for it, but it's forgiven. An apology means they were wrong for trying you in the first place.
Ah, okay. So they took some accountability. Okay, I'm cool with that. Hey, we messed up. We're doing this for way too long. We apologize. Let's try to move on. All right, I'm with that.
To be fair, we don't know. It's not in the article how long they've been doing it. Like, I mean, they could have stopped doing this in, like, the 80s or 90s. But if you have a criminal record from the 80s, it sticks with you forever.
I hear that. So I was born at the end of the 80s, so no criminal records for me.
Good job, Tim. I've definitely got a few tickets to my name.
I hear that. I believe that too, JP. No, I'm just kidding. I find that hard to believe.
Oh, I set you up and you delivered.
I know, man. I know it. Well, I got one more positive news story, JP, man.
Cool.
It's about a 12-year-old boy who was actually being bullied in school for taking Irish dance lessons. And now he is more confident than ever because he got to meet an NFL player who also trains in Irish dancing for football. So Carl Tubbs, a 7th grade student, again, like I told you, he's been taking Irish dance lessons for about 4 years now. He met Baltimore Ravens running back Alex Collins on October 22nd when the Ravens played an away game against the Minnesota Vikings. Collins reached out to Carl, who lives in Des Moines, Iowa, after seeing a tweet from the boy's mom asking for words of encouragement for her son. His mom basically tweeted, "Any advice for a 12-year-old boy getting bullied for taking Irish dance lessons? Maybe a shout-out to dancer Carl from you would help?" And Alex Collins, the running back, responded, "Never stop doing things you love because someone else doesn't agree. Chase your dreams, Carl, and don't let them stop you from being great." I thought that was awesome in itself, but then it keeps going. A few days after hearing back from Collins, Joanne, which is the kid's mom, saw the Ravens were playing within driving distance from the family's home. So she bought tickets to the game and then heard from the Ravens and Collins' agent, who offered Carl a chance to meet his new NFL hero, which he got to meet the NFL player, took some pictures with him after the game. Carl, who also plays baseball, was introduced to Irish dancing by his older sister. He performs in competitions and often practices during recess at school, which that's basically how he got bullied, because he was practicing during class. And the football player basically said, "Look, I do this for football. This helps me get quick feet. And he actually posted a tweet after that saying, "The secret to quick feet, Irish dance." And then he did a bunch of hashtags and all that good stuff. Now, the reason I shared this story is because I don't really watch the NFL, especially after all the stories we've done and all the research I've been hearing over CTE, which, you know, hey, for his own, I guess. But the story is really awesome, I thought, because, I mean, these NFL players have so much on their plate. They have so much to do, you know, just with practice alone, and then to have other places they need to be where they have to volunteer their time. And this man took the time out of his own day to meet this kid and defend this kid, because this is something that he probably could have got bullied for if he wasn't in the NFL. So definitely an amazing story, and a shout out to you, Alex Collins.
Did you see the videos attached with this?
No, man, there was a video?
Yeah, those two. It was the kid getting bullied dancing, by the way. He was pretty good at it, man.
I didn't know there was a video. I've seen probably like 8 pictures, which I thought were pretty awesome. They were all positive pictures, though. No negative pictures or videos for me.
No, it was the kid dancing, right?
Right.
And then the next video was the football player dancing to the Irish dance.
Oh, wow. I didn't even see that.
But yeah, like, I'm just, they don't, just don't bully. Like, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys need help on bullying and, like, some ways to, like, stop bullying, we definitely did an episode over that earlier on in the year, so definitely check that out, you know, a reference or something, man, because bullying is overrated, man. You know what, man, speaking of bullying, I saw something on Facebook. This guy posted, like, a status, like, "You know what, I'm going to teach my kids how to be bullies because America is so soft these days," or something. I was like, man, this dude needs a hug. Like, for real.
Tim, man, you spend entirely too much time on Facebook.
Man, I do, man. I roll down and, like, look at everybody's feed, just seeing what people are talking about. And, man, I got frustrated. I low-key wanted to message the guy and just be like, you know what? Hey, whatever you're going through, it's going to be okay. I was so close to doing it, man. So close.
Wow. Okay.
My bad. What do you got for us, JP?
No, you're good. I do like how you were talking about getting mad at Facebook.
Right.
I like how this was started because of Twitter. Like, it was a positive way to use social media. Instead of, like, being in an athlete's mentions, like, "Hey, can I meet you?" or "Hey, you suck." It was like, "Can I get some advice for bullying?" And this is just a positive way to use social media to get back to the community and, you know, stop kids getting bullied.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of that story we did with the Watts character, J.J. Watts, the Houston player.
Where
someone sent him a tweet about his their son being, like, in a car wreck or something. I can't really remember. And, like, J.J. Watts got the tweet. It was like, "Yeah, I'll go see him." And he, like, sent him a jersey and, like, took pictures with him the next day, all because of Twitter.
Yeah, social media, man, if you use it in a positive way, some great things can happen, for sure.
So, don't bully. Dancing's awesome. By the way, I know multiple people that have lost a lot of weight dancing, and they don't really see it as working out because they enjoy it doing it so much.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, dancing's cool. Dancing's awesome. Shout out to dancing.
For sure, man. We definitely got to jump in a ballroom dance class or something soon. Mike is going to be teaching it, man.
I was just about to say dancing's hard. And that's definitely, like, why you should bully people for dancing. But anyway, yeah. You have fun at that ballroom dancing. I'll come by whenever you get good at it.
I got you, man. I need to step up my salsa skills for sure.
You have Edna for that.
Man, her salsa game isn't quite there.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not quite there, man. That's more of a Puerto Rican thing for sure.
Okay. You should have just used that to hype her up, man.
Never, man. I keep it honest over here.
And he pays for it later.
Always. Always. Siempre.
So my last positive news story is your favorite positive kind of positive news story, Tim. What is that?
It's a dog story.
Okay. Or, second favorite kind.
It's a Chance the Rapper follow-up.
You know it.
All right.
So Chance the Rapper has been doing a lot of great things.
Lot is an understatement.
Just to recap, he donated $1 million to Chicago Public Schools. He did a charity event where he worked behind the grilling for people. He started his own Chance Arts and Literature Fund to basically bring in some more music and arts and literature in the Chicago Public School area. And now he's teamed up with Lyft in the Chicago area, which basically means if you use a Lyft in the Chicago metropolitan area, it'll give you an option like, hey, do you want to donate to Chicago Public Schools art program, which is one he's funded. And so if you're in Chicago, every single time you use a Lyft, you're going to have this opportunity to donate to help out. So if you're in Chicago and you use a Lyft, please donate. Even if it's 50 cents, just donate $1. Everything helps.
Absolutely, man. I love the Chance the Rapper segment that we have on our episode at least once a month, because I swear this dude has a team that are you know what, we're gonna save the world and we're gonna do something big every month, and this is it. I'm just a huge fan of this dude, man. I didn't even listen to his music before we started talking about him on the show, and he's one of my favorite artists now.
Absolutely. And
goals.
That's all I have, Tim.
Oh, legit, man. Well, I do have a positive quote. So if you guys aren't following us on our social media platforms, make sure you guys are. Facebook at The Positive Truth Podcast, Twitter at TPT_podcast. You can email us at thepositivetruth@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube at The Positive Truth OKC. Everywhere else is pretty much The Positive Truth. iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, even Instagram. If you guys want to check us out there, we got some cool pictures up there as well. But now for my positive quote. The difference between stumbling blocks and stepping stones is how you use them. By Unknown.
Shout out to Unknown for that wise quote.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed that one for sure.
Until then, we're out.
Stay positive.